Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margo.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast. Today is very, very special because on the line we have Jen.
Hi.
But we also have our rare spotted elk, Erin. Erin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I feel like I need to do an elk call or something, but I don't know what they sound like.
Please try. Please try something. Like bugle or something. Yes.
That's more of a bird. I don't know.
So actually, I'll go off script a little bit, but how did you two meet each other? Because you two started Fit Bottom Girls and Fit Bottom Mamas, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats. How did you two get together?
Erin, you tell the story.
All right. We were actually both working together at a business media publishing company in Overland Park, and Jen made it her mission to be my friend. I think, you know,
that's true.
And we were just two cubes apart, and then we both discovered that our now husbands were actually in grad school at the University of Kansas, and that we were both commuting every day, you know, 45, 50 minutes. So we decided to start carpooling, and the friendship, you know, the rest of the friendship story is history. And so it wasn't until later that we were not, you know, living in the same town that we came up with the idea for Fit Bottomed Girls, but the friendship started when we were commuting together.
Yeah, I like.
Isn't it incredible how that happened?
I courted her. I was like, wait, that girl also commutes from Lawrence, and she's my age, and she looks cool. Yeah, we are going to be friends.
It was kind of perfect, and we really did hit it off. So,
and then here you are. That was 2008, and like here we are. We're like this empire, right? Well, these different sites and everything, and now we have the podcast.
Exactly.
So today's show, we have Bev Cooks on the show. And so I want, you guys knew all about her, and then Tish out in LA, she knows about her, but I knew nothing about her. So how did you guys find Bev Cooks and tell everybody who she is?
Yeah. So I found her through Tish. Tish was kind of like always on the cutting edge of everything. Like before Pinterest was cool, before anyone knew about Pinterest, she's like, you gotta get on Pinterest. And finally I was like, fine, I'll get on Pinterest. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it was kind of the same thing about Snapchat, even though Snapchat was like, my gosh, I feel like I went for like 8 months or something with having no idea how to use it until I kind of started figuring it out. Tish was like actually giving Erin and I lessons on how to use Snapchat.
It really was.
It's true. So we're better at it now. She was suggesting different accounts to follow, and she was like, oh my gosh, you have to follow Bev Cooks. She's just hilarious. And so I started doing it. And I live in Kansas City. Bev Cooks also lives in Kansas City. So it was just hilarious because I'd be watching her snaps and I'd be like, I know what restaurant she's at. I go there. Like, I know what grocery store she's at. I go to that Trader Joe's, you know? So it was just really funny where I felt like I began to know her. And if you follow her Snapchat or her blog, and her Snapchat is at Bev Cooks, it's hilarious. Like, she's really goofy, and her kids are on there, and she's talking about wine, and she's talking about food, and she's making fun of things, and she's talking about movies, and it's her, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, she sings, and she's got different characters. I mean, she's definitely an entertaining spectacle on Snapchat, which is really fun.
Yeah.
She's also great on Instagram. That's where I follow her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She does some beautiful images.
So what are your favorite type of posts on? I'll be honest with you guys. I've never used Snapchat. I still don't even know what it is really. I had somebody try to teach it to me, but you know, what are your favorite types of account, excuse me, on Snapchat and Instagram? What do you like looking for? What attracts you?
I like funny stuff.
Yeah. I like, the more real someone is, the better. I don't like it when people's lives seem like this perfect ideal, because that's not what my life is like. So I like to see people who make me feel better and show kind of the messy, funny side of life. So those are the accounts I really gravitate, you know, toward, the kind of funny, messy characters out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then kind of some of the, you know, like I do like to see some of the workouts that people do like every day. I think that's kind of interesting. And that's usually what I share on at Fit Bottom Girls. or at Fitbit I'm Girl, is a little bit like, here's the workout we did, and here's maybe like what I'm eating for dinner, but not just like, I'm eating this, like, here's what I'm eating for every meal. That's kind of overkill, but I feel like, hey, you know, I just tried this new gluten-free bread and oh my God, it doesn't taste like cardboard, you know, like that's worth sharing. So, kind of some of the stuff that's like behind the scenes, I think is kind of fun. But yeah, I think like Erin said, you gotta keep it real.
Totally. That's how I feel too. So she features her kids in her posts. So do either one of you ever do that, or do you try to keep it to a minimum, or do you have a policy about that, or what?
Maybe we should have a policy, Erin.
Yeah, I mean, we both do feature our kids, and I recently brought on another Fit Bottom to Mama to kind of share my Fit Bottom to Mama account on Instagram, because I was kind of getting a little apprehensive about sharing too much and having it only be about my kids. So she shares stuff about her life and her behind the scenes as well. So, you know, I have an older one who's 6, and she's still really young, but I've just started just kind of like feeling a little more apprehensive about the things that I share. So I've kind of started making it more about me rather than focused on my kids, just to give them a little bit of privacy. So yeah, it's just kind of a fine balance that you have to walk, and what you feel comfortable sharing and what your kids in the future will feel comfortable with you having shared.
That's what I feel like is really interesting. I know we asked Bev Cooks that in the interview too, you know, like, will there come a point, I think Erin asked the question, like, will there come a point where you, you know, kind of don't feature them as much? Because she does feature her kids in there a lot of times. And I know Erin and I have talked about this a lot. And I put my daughter Gwen on our Snapchat, like, sometimes. And she's on Instagram sometimes. And she's in posts sometimes. But, yeah, I feel like once they're old enough to, like, make a decision whether they want it or not, then, I mean, you have to kind of respect that. Things that are on the internet live forever.
I know. Yep.
They certainly do. So we were asking her in our interview how she manages to do everything, because she does everything on her own. And she told us that she gets up at 5:30 to work every single day. That's how she keeps all of the social media going and her blog and the cooking and all that stuff going. So how early do you guys get up?
Not that early. The day after we talked to Bev, I actually woke up at 5:30 and I was like, you know, I could be like Bev and get up now. And then I rolled over and went back to sleep.
Good for you.
So, you know,
I used to be someone who would regularly, like 3 times a week, go to a 5:30 a.m. workout class, which is funny because now that I've done that, like, I think maybe 3 times since I've had my daughter, maybe 3. It's just really difficult for me to do. My husband's, he could still gets up and goes now by himself, which I'm like, wow. By yourself? Wow. But I was also inspired by Bev's advice, because I'm like, this is a secret. I remember in our first podcast episode with Beck's Life, she said something similar. I can't remember if she got up at exactly 5:30, but she gets up early to work and to kind of have her moment and kind of have her, you know, smoothie and get her calmness on before the craziness begins of her day. And I think it was hearing Bev Cook say it again that I was like, okay, I am going to try this. So for the last, I think it's just been a couple of weeks now, I've done it, I don't know, maybe three days out of the week. I have to say, I'm tired.
Like, yeah, it's something to get used to. Are you getting up at 5:30 as you're trying to get up at the same time she does?
Yeah, I've been getting up anywhere from 5 to 5:45. Depends on where the snooze happens. Or if my husband does get up early to, like, go to the gym at 5 – for the 5:30 class, and I'll be like, okay, I'll get up with you. I'll go down and make a cup of coffee. And I am getting stuff done. I am feeling more accomplished. But yeah, I mean, by the time noon rolls around, I'm like, is it time for bed? Like,
it's been
oh my
a day
gosh.
By then. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tired. I'm like mentally tired too. So there's some adjustment, but I do think there is something to it.
I definitely
might have to manage it.
Like, there's really something about beating your kids out of bed. That sounds funny. Yeah. Beating them out of bed. Like, getting up earlier than your kids, not like physically getting out of bed. But, you know, it's like, it lets you get your coffee. It lets you get woken up without their demands. So I really want to do it. We'll just see if my laziness can ever be overtaken by my desire to get up in the fives.
And I think, like, for me, my main motivator is that anytime I'm like, okay, I'm like, no, I'm going to, like, write a little bit in the evening, like after Gwen goes to bed, or I'm going to do something, you know, I'm going to work. I never ever do it. Like, I cannot do it. Like, I have no brain power. I have no ideas. There's no creativity. So for me, or my personality, I think I'm like, well, the morning's better because I'm not doing anything at night. So.
Yeah, I teach three early morning classes. I mean, early the classes at 7, but I get up about 5:45, 6 o'clock because I just like having that hour of coffee, checking my emails, kind of planning the day. And by the time like I get home from teaching, it's like 8:15. I feel so accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel like prepared for the day versus like Wednesdays, Thursdays, I can sleep in. And sometimes I wake up like 8:15, which is, for me is super late.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whip, you know, Van Winkle, you know, I'm just sort of like, what's time? What day is this? You know, I really get, I kind of like that getting up a little early and attacking the day, but I'm definitely like you. 9:10 o'clock at night, I'm not great. I mean, sometimes we want to do interviews then and stuff. And I just have to put the kibosh on it. Like the brain power is not there.
Does the interview involve Netflix and wine? Cause if it does,
yes.
I'm there.
Exactly. No effort on my part. And if I don't have to be interesting, great. But other than that, yeah. So that's a great segue. So here we go. You're going to hear Bev from Bev Cooks. If you're new to her, she is high energy. She's funny as hell. We really enjoyed talking to her. So, let's get on with the show. Today's interview is with Bev Cooks. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. We're very excited today because we have Bev Cooks here. Who's Bev Cooks? She's Bev Widener. She is a high energy mom of twins, Will and Natalie. She's the wife of a dude named Aaron, who has immorally good hair, as she describes him. She's an indie rock musician in her previous life. I think in her current life as well. Is that, we'll find out in a second. And she is a fantastic cook. If you follow her on Snapchat, Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you follow her, she makes amazing meals, and we're really excited to have her here. And just one more thing, she played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz in New Mexico in 1995. Her mom really wanted us to know that. So, Bevs, why don't you say hi to everyone?
Hello, everyone.
So today, it's a special show. First on the line, we have, in addition to me, Margo, we have Jen.
Hello.
And it's a rare spotted elk day because Erin is here. She managed to get rid of the kids for an hour. So Erin, say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
So Bev, are you still in a band, or is that like a pastime you no longer engage in?
Well, I have an audience of two. So no. No, I would really say no. Erin and I haven't played formally and officially and professionally in 8 years. really, I mean, I would say at least 7 years. It's been a very long time, but we do have a couple of acoustic guitars here at the house that we whip out on occasion and, you know, play lullabies or just even songs that we've written or just whatever, you know, pop songs, old fashioned classic rock, you know, we just sort of blah, blah, blah. And they kind of get into it until they start banging the guitar and pulling the strings and, you know, which is all the time.
That's amazing. So tell us, you know, Bev Cooks, for people who don't know about you, what got you on the path of creating your blog, Bev Cooks? And it's bevcooks.com.
That's right. Well, you know, it was about, I want to say, you know, about 7 years ago-ish, you know, and Aaron and I got married about 12 years ago. And I remember the feeling of, you know, that sort of like, well, I need to cook for the man. Not really. But it wasn't even about like cooking for him or anything. It was just like, you know, I really don't know what to do with this asparagus. I really don't know what to do with this pork. Ugh. And then my best friend, Laura, a long, long, long time ago, she got me a subscription to those old, I don't know if you remember these, but they're Martha Stewart, and there were those little pocket magazines called
Yes.
Food. They were tiny. You could just stick them in your pocket, stick them in your jacket. I was obsessed with those back in the day, long time ago. And I eagerly, anxiously just devoured every word that Martha and her staff said, really, and quickly figured out what to do with those asparagus spears. And, you know, then I decided, and it wasn't even cooking was part of it, but it was also the blogging. You know, I started reading blogs and I was like, you know, I can do this. I've got some stuff to say. I can make you laugh. I can be entertaining. Let's see if I can make this work. And I didn't know how to photograph food. And I was like, all right, I had this like janky little point and shoot a long time ago. And I would post photos on Facebook just for fun. And, you know, and it kind of grew a little bit. And then I decided, well, I should invest in a good camera. So I bought a good camera. And I sort of mimicked and studied and just really studied, you know, magazines and websites, like Real Simple and things like that, and sort of tried to learn what they were doing food styling wise and kind of adapting that, and then figuring out my own style. Do I like a real simple palette? Do I like a lot of color? Do I like a broken twig in the background? You know,
wow.
I have yet to use a broken twig. Just so.
That's up next. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to put that in today's recipe. No.
I also was like a subscriber of Everyday Food, right? That's the name of it. Everyday Food. I think Martha taught me how to like roast asparagus, which is still the method that I roast asparagus today. It's so funny. I would like to talk about Snapchat. That's how like Erin and I, she used to write for us a lot. Tish, who is at Loving Kiwi, is my best friend. And she was like, oh my gosh, she's like, you need to follow Bev Cooks on Snapchat. Like, I know you've been to her blog, but she's hilarious. And so we have a lot of fun watching you on Snapchat. And I know you have a great following, but I'm just curious, like, it seems like everything is very, in the moment, and you have kind of like all these different characters and voices, and clearly you can see some of your past musical history that kind of comes through, we'll say. Do you just do everything in the moment, or do you have a plan?
I would honestly say 98% is in the moment. And I have, it's funny because I sort of treat it as my own personal version of Saturday Night Live starring me. You know? And I sort of just like get out the characters that I have within me and like these voices. And I love that Snapchat can change your face. I just love that so much because it wouldn't be nearly as entertaining if it was just me doing that, you know, but it's so fun to take on these personas of all these different people. And you know, and Wine Talk is all, it's just a series. I don't know if you've seen that, but I do just talk about wine, and I know nothing about wine other than get it in my face. On my throat. And so it's a lot of fun for me to just blab about something that I'm not a professional in. I just like the little tastings that I go to, you know, every couple of weeks that I can learn a little bit here and there. But I think mostly people like it just because it is just so, it's a train wreck. I mean, it's a disaster, but it's fun.
Yeah, that leads to my next question. You know, your Snapchat, I feel like, is kind of the behind the scenes crazy version of your life. And then maybe your Instagram is a little bit more curated. My question is, you know, you've got this beautiful house, but you've also got these two crazy kids.
Yes.
And I've got three, so I'm well aware of what my house looks like on a daily basis. So I really want to know how often you've had to like shove a messy pile of stuff out of the way to get one of your Instagram perfect shots.
Well, it's funny. When in Snapchat, I know this is going to sound so ridiculous, and you're going to think, don't worry about that. Just do, you know, be real. But I just don't show it all with the camera. I just sort of walk in a certain way and show certain things. And, you know, if I were to do like a big swoop around the whole house, you would cry. You'd be like, no.
No, I would be happy because it would make me feel better.
But, I mean, for Instagram, honestly, there is an editing tool. You know, you can take out certain things. If there's a big something on the wall that I'm like, that's wrecking my psyche with this photo, then I take it out. But overall, I try to keep the house semi-tidy so that when I do have an Instagram photo, it's pretty real. You know, it's pretty, that's it, you know?
So my question is, so you learned basically from Martha Stewart how to cook. I'm kind of guessing she was your inspiration.
Sort of, you know, yes and no. You know, I'm not like a gigantic Martha fan, although I do respect her, and I even like to watch her Saturday PBS shows. I still do. But as far as like learning to cook, it was the magazine, and it was also Real Simple, and it was also reading other blogs. And then it was just sort of like, well, wait a minute, I can create something, because I never like to redo a recipe that somebody else has done, you know, inspired by, adapted by, that's all great and everything. But I really like to just get in there and go, what can I do with this bell pepper and this minced chicken? Ooh, did minced chicken just sound nasty to you right now? That did.
Yeah, that's gross.
Oh, <out. laughs> you know, that kind of, and just get creative with just some different, like super simple flavors and nothing over the top. I really try to not be, because my style of cooking is not super intense and laborious. I like to keep everything as simple, as weeknight friendly as possible, kid friendly if it applies, you know, and kind of go from there. Just because people don't like to look at a recipe that has 15,784 ingredients and half of them they can't pronounce. You know, it's like, no, I want to keep it all pretty easy to attack.
So I feel like there are like two styles of people that like to cook, whether it's like you really like to follow a recipe like verbatim or you kind of like to go off the rails. I used to be someone who liked to follow a recipe and like now I can't. I like can't stop myself from being like, well, maybe we should try with this instead or I'll swap in this. What camp do you fall into and kind of has that changed as you've gotten more, you know, into cooking?
You know, I have a split personality with this. Shocking, I know. I will get in the mood some days to just whip out a cookbook or an old magazine that I haven't looked at in a long time and pick a recipe and just not think and just do what they say. Just do what they tell me. You know, every couple of weekends I'll do that. I'll just find a cookbook and I'll be like, you know what? This person developed this recipe so I don't have to think. I'm going to make it. And then the rest of the time I fall into the other camp where it's like, that's cute and all, but let's try this.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm more into the experimental camp and less into the follow the recipe, because I just sometimes following somebody else's recipe can be limiting. And but sometimes it's also inspiring because I might not think about the techniques that they're using for myself. And then I can kind of think, oh, well, they did it like that. Well, I'll take that technique and apply it somewhere else down the road.
Yeah. So then when you're creating your recipes, do you have trouble remembering how much you did of stuff, you know, because sometimes I'll make something and I'll be like, I do something off the cuff and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that was delicious. And like, I have no idea how to recreate that.
Right. Well, I write every single thing down when I'm shooting for the blog and I write down all the steps and I write down exactly because I'm kind of fiddling, you know, some recipes. I know exactly what I'm going to do and I'm like, boom, in. And then some I'm like, let's see how this goes. And I'll just write it all down. And then as I'm playing with it, I'll scratch out like, nah, less cumin, nah, more chili powder, nah, whatever. And so when I go back, I know when I go back to write the recipe for the website, I know exactly what to write. And then when I want to recreate it, I just go to my site and pull it up.
Awesome.
You've got two, you know, super cute kiddos, kind of switching gears here. Do you ever worry about how much you share with the public? I know I've recently kind of struggled with how much my oldest just turned 6. And, you know, do you ever anticipate there being a time that you'll put them on social media less?
You know, that's going to sort of depend on them, I think, because right now they don't care. Will is a little bit more than Natalie. Truthfully, Natalie is, she likes the camera. She gives the camera what the camera wants. Like, yeah, whatever. Let me pick this roly-poly off the ground and see if I can stick it in my nostril. So we're going to see. As far as me being concerned or worried about what I put on the internet, I really am not, surprisingly, because everyone does it, which sounds a little naive, but it's just true. We're in a world. We're in this sharing industry where it's so common to share your recipes, to share your family, to share your home, to share your kids' growth, to share their milestones, to share your milestones. And it's not anything that's new anymore. A few years ago when people were sharing when Facebook came out and people started sharing all their photos of their kids and everybody was so worried about it. I just, you know, and I didn't have kids at that time, but when I finally did, it just doesn't worry me. I mean, the psychos are out there. I'm one of them. Be there. And it's like, you might be affected by it. You might not. And then that, if you are, then you deal with it. If you're not, then you go on. And so for me right now in this point in my life, I'm not worried about it. Watch, something will happen tomorrow.
No. And it's like, it has changed. Like this wasn't around, you know, even really 10 years ago. So it's kind of like there's no going back, you know, it's like you can't really put the lid back on sharing everything.
And here, like everyone be like, where did you go? What did you, here. All of a sudden, no, it's fine. That's just what that's the industry. It's the nature of it. So
yeah.
Gotcha. So, I mean, your recipes look delicious. And so I have to say, like, how do you keep in shape? I guess you're a runner. Is that
I do.
The case?
You know, I call myself a runner. I'm a jogger. I've not actually.
Semantics.
I do some 5Ks once in a while, you know. Get out the big guns for that one. But I jog every morning at, you know, five to six times a week. I try to stay on top of it. And that's my main thing. And I really don't even jog intense, like between 2 and 3 miles, you know, per little jaunt. But that and, I don't know, like keep running around with the kids. And I try to, this year especially, like now that I turned 40 a few weeks ago, I'm like, okay, must get serious.
Yeah,
about the decisions that I'm making, about my snack choices, because that's all going to, I mean, it's, at this point, you know, it's all going to change, and I don't have the 28-year-old metabolism that I did, you know, so it's, I'm paying more attention to that in the last week or two.
Well, no, before we got on, we were all saying how beautiful your skin is. We're like, oh my gosh, your skin, she always looks like she's glowing, so 40's doing you well.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you. I just started a new skin regimen, and I have a big partnership coming up in the following months. So it's going to be very, even more, if you think it looks good now, you should see it by Christmas.
Ooh, so nice.
I don't know if I can say anything yet, but that's something very, very fun that's going to be happening. We're going to go on a skin journey, and I'm going to take you all with me. And it's going to be mostly on Snapchat and Insta stories, and then I'll have a big blog post at the end. But we're going to the doctor, guys. We're doing this.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Man.
It's nothing crazy like a Nicolas Cage face-off.
You have like a permanent Snapchat filter new on you.
Right. You know, those filters can only take you so far in life.
It's true. But some of them, they can get you pretty far. Going on a little bit of a more, I guess, serious note, my husband and I had fertility issues. We now have a daughter, and it took us 3 years to have her. It was terrible and ended up, you know, being awesome now that we have her, but it was a pretty sucky situation. And I know that you shared your fertility story back in 2013, I believe, on your site. Yeah. So I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what the response was after you shared your story, why you decided to share at that time, and just, you know, was it cathartic? How was that?
Yeah. You know, all of it. It was because my website, I try to keep it as silly, as fun, giggly, blah, 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 as possible. It was interesting because another reason I started blogging is because I was so, so sad in my journey of this infertility, and I needed an escape. I needed to find a way to make myself laugh. If I can make other people laugh, then that really helped my internal, you know, everything, my psyche. And so when I started the blog and it got successful within a year, and it was really, it kind of got my mind off of things, and I was still able to go through some procedures that we were doing, but I was still focusing more on my site and focusing more on content creativity and focusing more on this partnership and that little thing and this freelance and this exciting steps and whoa. And then once I finally got pregnant the happy ending, I was able to just sort of like, all right, now it's time to tell my story. Yeah, and when I did, I still kept it fun, but it's such a serious, lonely, dark time that people go, that women go through and their husbands, they can collectively go through it together, that the response was so overwhelming. And it was like, okay, this is a new part of my voice. You know, not only am I just this recipe developer, now I have something that can connect me to a lot of other struggling families and women and marriages and things like that. So the response was just so unbelievably overwhelming. So that was exciting to be able to plug in my silly nature with such a serious issue and to make light of it and to kind of shed a little, as far as I could feel, like shedding a little hope for people that didn't have it.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's a really, for anyone who is struggling with fertility, it is really important to, I found, to always like, do something for you that you could focus on while you are kind of like, quote unquote, waiting, basically, to get pregnant all the time.
Yes.
I can, And I remember, just with like the bottom girls, and it seems like every time I would have
you know, I like get my period or something. It's supposed to be like the next day, like something good would happen with the business. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, thank God. Like maybe this is the reason why I'm having to wait so long. You know, it was, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I totally agree.
And another month of wine, you know.
Bust it open. Well, and so now that you have these two kids and this successful site, when do you write and do your recipe creation? Do you fit it all in during nap time? Do you have childcare? How are you kind of juggling all these balls in the air?
Juggling is the key word. I don't have childcare. I am really lucky enough that Aaron, my husband, he's a freelancer. And so some days he's actually home. And some days he's out working in the garage and we'll sort of pass the baton because he has an Etsy shop. He makes wood furniture. So some days we'll kind of split it up. I mean, I'll have the kids in the morning. I put them down at noon. You know, we do lunches and they go down at noon. And he'll come home or come in sometime before 2. And then he'll take them in the afternoon when they wake up about 2:30 while I shoot a recipe or finish a blog post or meet a deadline or whatever in the afternoons and get that submitted and done and wrapped. But the majority of my work is 5:30 in the morning, between 5 and 5:30. I get up insanely early and knock out as much as I can knock out before 7:30 rolls around and I hear the gremlins stirring from their caves.
Yeah. That's my problem is I don't get up early enough. I wait for the gremlins to wake me up. They're separating, waking up before them, unfortunately.
So my question to you is, I like to cook, you know, and I like to pick up tips here and there, and I guess hacks. Do you have any new kitchen hacks, anything new you've done recently, or recipe hacks or something like that, that you're kind of excited about that you want to share?
Yes, and I've talked about these a couple of times on, like, social live, like so Snapchat. And some, okay, so take an onion, and see, I hate chopping an onion. I hate it. I would rather stick razor blades in my eyes. But I absolutely can't stand it because I can't cut an onion right. That's another thing. I have tried to do the little beep, beep, beep this way, beep, beep, beep that way. And blah, 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 blah. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I cry. My eyes, it is ridiculous. They're like rivers coming out of my head. And so I have yet to buy onion goggles for myself. I need to do that. But so take a mandolin. Okay. Do you have a mandolin? You know, those little sharp, you know, it's like a
instrument?
Not the musical instrument.
I think the instrument. I was like, oh, it's going to get really freaky.
No E at the end. It's, you know, it's this little slanted razor blade in a V shape, and you can take a little hand guard and you can take a vegetable or something and run it over the blade really, really, really fast, and it thinly slices it. So what I like to do is take a red onion or white onion or whatever and do the thin slice or the second gauge or whatever thickness you want, and do that, and it'll make a stack of slices. And then before those oils or fumes or gas or acid that comes from the onion that destroys your eye holes, take a knife and just but across it, and it's all done.
You know, you can buy them all already chopped too. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm that lazy.
I should try that.
So be sure to use the hand guard. Be sure. I have a friend with a gory story.
Yeah, that gory. Yeah, it's use that hand guard. But the first time you do it, you'll think, what is happening here? And then it is like magic. It is unbelievable. Angels will sing. Apple pies will appear in your windowsill.
So circling back around to wine, because why not? Let's talk about your wine talk a little bit more. You have very similar taste in wine that I do. So yes, soft blancs, grapefruity. Yeah, that's my jam. But what is your favorite wine ever? And then maybe what's your worst wine experience?
My gosh, I can tell you the worst. And it's just because I don't like sweet wines. And I wouldn't even call it an experience unless you call drinking the wine and wanting to throw the glass out of a fiery building. If that's Moscato, however you pronounce it. I can't remember if there's an A at the end or an O. Moscato. Oh, it's horrible. And I'm sorry to whoever invented it, but it tastes like apple juice gone wrong.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And as far as favorite, I used to love, it's so funny, I used to just obsess over, I would splurge on the Saint Supery however you pronounce it. I'm always like, French Saint Blanc, blah, blah, blah. It's a Sauvignon Blanc, and I think I don't even know. Maybe it's California. I don't know. But I love New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, and I can't remember the brand name or the brand. But I was really into Saint Supri for a while. Yeah. But it's like $18, and so it's not something you want to drink all the time. For me, it's like a once a year type of thing.
I even consider like Kim Crawford, which is like $13 to $15. Like that's even a little bit of a splurge for me.
I was going to say that next. The Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc, it's really good. Really like that. Yeah.
That's really good.
Totally. I wish I had a favorite. I don't know what's wrong with it. Watch, as soon as this is over, I'll be like,
oh, it's going to pop into your head right away.
You can always email me and we'll make sure it's in the show notes or something. Yeah. You're like, no, she decided this is her favorite wine ever.
Yeah, exactly. Anything dry and crisp, apple-y but not too fruity. I don't want like a cobbler in my head. Like I need it to be just dry and refreshing, you know. Drier the better.
Yep.
It's like a desert.
I'm the same way.
And Erin is having a mic problem. That's okay. Jen, why don't you ask her that musical question you had?
Okay, cool. Okay, so I know with your musical history, you have a lot of interest in music, and you have some great playlists. You share a mixtape on your site all the time. Where do you find your musical inspiration? Like, where do you get all your songs from? And then is there like one playlist? I know I have a couple playlists that I've created that I go back to all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you have a playlist or two that's like that for you? And if it's public, that's a bonus because we can share it.
You know, I have been and I was obsessed with, and I don't want to say all types because that would include all the bad music in the world, but I did spend a good few years of my life being extremely snobby about my music choices. And you know, your favorite band is terrible, I'm sorry, my band's better than yours, that kind of attitude. But I was back in my like 20s and early 30s. I was in a shoegazer band called Tycho, and I played a bass guitar, and as I did in the New Tragedies with my husband. And it was very, you know, I don't know if you know anything about shoegazer, but it's like My Bloody Valentine. It's very lush, layered vocals, lots of fuzz guitar. It's very big, you know, epic sort of music. And so I was really into that for a while, along with just different like indie genres, you know, and that's carried in through today. I went to tons and tons of shows when I was in my 20s at this local joint called Clunk Music Hall in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I'm talking like twice a week, these indie bands would come through, like Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, The Dismemberment Plan, Les Salve Fav, Modest Mouse, like everything. And we would party with the band after the show because it was such a small-ish show that we were able to connect with the people and become friends with them. So, you know, semi-friends, like they would come through and remember us, you know, and sometimes my band would open up for these other bands. And so I was really into that for a long time. And then it's funny though, the older I get, the more I go back to classic rock, and I've always really liked bands like Led Zeppelin and Fleetwood Mac, but lately it's all I can listen to. You know, it's just like, I can't even do anything except for just a handful of old classic, like Tom Petty and things like that. I just have to hear those old, and even the Beatles, you know, obviously the Beatles, obviously. Mm-hmm. Put them on, like, you just can listen to it all day long, and it doesn't get old. It's timeless. It taught us everything about rock music, everything. Everybody is the Beatles in some fashion or another. You know, Elliott Smith, Ida, the Spinanes, Sarah Harmer. Like, I could talk forever and ever and ever and ever about music. But I would say my favorite playlist that I have made for my website is the very first one. And that was not this past July, but two Julys ago, last July. And it's called the Fireworks and Lemonade Mix. And they're all of my mixes. I don't know if anybody's ever caught on to this, but my own personal joke with the names, I always say the blah, 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 blah mix, the one about fire mix, the say my name mix. Well, I'm kind of ripping off Friends. The one where she blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Say blah, blah, blah. So that's like my inspiration for the names, because it's always the one about fire mix, So that very first one, it's a long mix, but it's so good. It's sort of like a Bev's favorite those greatest hits.
That's awesome. You know? Like your it's like a playlist of your life.
It is. It is. I've got lots of memories attached to everything, and the genres are all over the place. Yet there's still something sort of congruent about it all. There's a little thread that kind of ties everything together that doesn't, you know, it weaves together perfectly.
I'm going to have to listen to it.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Now, you know, I've seen Ted Leo a bunch of times here in Brooklyn, and he toured with Amy Mann like the last couple of years. Ted Leo?
Oh, yeah, love Ted
Leo. I love him. I've seen him. He opens for Julie Klausner when she does her shows in Brooklyn. She's a comedian. And I've actually seen him on stage with Amy Mann.
Awesome.
And performing together. He's an amazing performer. Yeah. He's fantastic. He's a great songwriter, too.
I got to tour with him just for a teeny bit.
Is he as nice as he seems?
As nice, even nicer. And his brother is super nice too. I can't remember. Chris. Yeah. So
we got to tweet out to them that we mentioned them on this podcast.
Yeah, totally. Ted is just, just an incredible musician. So fun. Such a good.
Really, 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 really good. Erin, are you there?
I think I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yay! Okay. You want to ask one more question and then I'll ask the final question?
Yeah. I was going to say earlier before everything went Mercury and retrograde on me. I was going to say that wine is a great, you know, de-stressor. How do you manage, you know, the stress of balancing work and kids and, you know, trying to do it all with such limited time?
Well, you just said it. Wine.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I don't drink as much as I act like I do.
Thankfully.
This poor girl's liver. Oh, my gosh, she's going to end up in prison. You know, we're in the ER. It's really not. You know, I have a window during the day where I – during the day, that sounded horrible. during the late afternoon. Okay, during the day. Between like 4 and 7, that's when I like to have a little happy hour. And then, you know, once the kids are down, I don't really drink after that anymore. I watch TV and I'll get back on the computer and finish up some editing or whatever and then go to bed. I go to bed early, like 9:30.
That's how you get up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why you can do it.
Exactly. I just sort of budget out the time, you know, like this is for work. This is the kids. This is, you know, and we don't really go any place to do any crazy drinking. You know, I just sit out back and watch them swim and we run around and go to the park and, you know, booze cruise, whatever.
Love it. Well, thank you so much. We have just one more question. We ask everybody this question. It's the last song we always ask.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What was the last song you listened to before you did this podcast?
Okay. Oh, that's a good question. The last song would have been Billie Holiday.
Oh,
yep.
I don't know what song, but it was majestic as she is.
As she was, yeah.
Yeah, she was. And yeah, I don't remember. It was on Spotify. I just pulled up a Billie Holiday radio station and was listening to her. Or not even a radio station. I just had just like Billie Holiday just on her main thing, just listening to her songs. So I don't know the name.
That's okay. That's good. It's Billie Holiday's plenty.
That's a beautiful way to end it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I guess they can find you at bevcooks.com and all of your social medias at bevcooks for Instagram and Pinterest and all that good stuff. That's where everybody can find you. Thank you so much for being here. And Erin, so thrilled our Rare Spotted Elk was able to join us today too.
I know. I'm disappointed. I had a couple technical difficulties, but I made it for the most
you
part.
You made it.
You're here.
That's all that counts. That's all that ever counts. So thanks so much. And yeah, bye.
Pleasure to talk to all of you. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks,
Bev. Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book Versus Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.